Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA. And by Dollar Shave Club, amazing razors, world-class grooming products, delivered for a limited time. New members get their first month of the Executive Razor and three products for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks more per month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/android. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode number 335, recorded on Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion. And you realize that we almost have a year's worth of shows.
What do you mean?
335?
Oh.
One more? Wait, 356. Never mind.
What? Wait a minute. Yours
is 365.
Oh, we had a new.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. 365 yeah. episodes, and you
but
could
watch.
But I
just heard 300, and I just thought about the fact that we could fill out an entire year of programming.
Almost. We're pretty close. I mean, it's probably going to take another year to get there, but maybe not quite another year. But soon we will be able. You will be able to watch a new episode of All About Android for every day of the year. Lucky you. It's a great way. And in fact, Ron, you're going to have to start a podcast where you go back to episode one and dissect episode per episode of All About Android.
I'm going to do All About Android Minute. So I'm going to go through every minute of the podcast. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be great. Yeah.
Don't die in the process because that sounds like hell. Speaking of hell, welcome to the show, Father Robert Mouse.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Father Robert's my stage name. I actually prefer to go by Megan Maroney.
Hey, we haven't had Megan Maroney on in a while. It's good
now
to have you back.
Now you did. Fantastic.
That was a horrible segue of introduction.
That was so sorry. Related. I mean, it was somewhat related.
Speaking of hell.
I'm so sorry.
Sometimes they just happen, and I should have known better. How are you doing? It's great to have you back.
I am good. And, you know, it's nice to be back here. I think the last time I was on All About Android, it was before I went into 2 months of silence. I'm a changed man now.
We were talking about that the other day, how, like, I can't even imagine going through that experience, like actually having a long experience of silence. But you explained to me it's not like completely mute. Like, there are tiny little bits of interaction, but still, that's...
Yeah, that too, but I was referring to the fact that now I'm a heavy drinker.
Oh.
But yeah, okay. Cool.
That works too. We all are.
Refreshing welcome. Drink.
I guess last time you were on was February. It was still this
too
year.
Too long. I don't
it
know.
It was still this
we're
crazy
we're in the
year.
Same building, Jason.
Yeah, I know. This is
Hey,
this
you
crazy.
Have a new phone, though.
I do.
I think
I do.
Since you last came on.
Well, it's still a review in it, and I've got to send it back, but I've been using it for a while. It's the OnePlus One, the 5.
The OnePlus 5.
Oh, what, yeah, the OnePlus yeah, 1.5.
Don't do that.
The
you
said, OnePlus 5. Oh, my goodness. And I got to say, you know, this is actually a nice device. And for this price point, I think the only thing that could make this better is if there were a notch at the top and it cost $1,000. Really.
Mumble, mumble, mumble.
Somebody online linked us, I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, either you, Ron, or Flo, to an Android app that will actually put a notch in the top of...
I saw that.
Oh, that's
I thought
that
was
that
clever.
It was
clever. I installed it. I was like, oh, wow, maybe this will be my arena. It served up like ad after ad after ad after ad.
That's and what even you get when for notches.
Yeah, that's the price of the notch.
Notch envy. We're all going to have it. Catch the fever.
Catch the fever notch of the fever. Notch.
We used to call it the flat tire, but now it's the notch.
Well, I know. It's kind of the same thing, right? And you know Apple folks were very like, oh, a flat tire, isn't that interesting?
How quaint.
How could you put up with that? Yeah, put up with the notch.
Wait a minute. Is this all about Apple or all about Android?
This is the part of the show where we trash Apple.
Yeah.
So we can make our way into the world of Android with a smile on our face. We're going to be discussing Leakapalooza. I swear this weekend I was thinking to myself, man, there haven't been any leaks. Maybe we'll actually make it.
Look what you did.
And
look what you did.
You did this. Because the world revolves around me. You're right. I did this.
Well, my world does, but anyway.
Well, you guys are all an illusion, and my reality is the only reality. So.
Like an Aronofsky film.
Totally. So we're going to talk about Leakapalooza. We're also going to talk about Google Assistant being built in, whatever that means. Frank, the phone. Tez, which is a new product from Google. We'll talk about that. The continuing saga of Samsung's Bixby button. Love it or hate it. You've got some options now. And a whole lot more. Real quick, though, we're going to do what we have been doing at the beginning of the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
Some of you are going to get upset because you don't like the sound of us eating into the microphone. So we'll try not to do that. We'll try and keep it quick. Today's featured Oreo flavor.
Please, please, nothing disgusting.
Cinnamon bun.
Wow. I like this.
Oh, wow.
Man,
this
is the pumpkin spice latte of Oreos.
Yeah, very well could
be.
All
worse.
Right.
It could be pumpkin spice latte.
We'll keep this quick. It says cinnamon bun Oreo cinnamon cookie. And go ahead and open that. I will hand out one to you.
I will eat this off the mic.
One to you, sir.
Go.
And
go
we
back
will
here
each take
it.
A bite.
Hold on, wait.
While you guys are chewing it, I'm going to comment on how the change of Oreo's packaging seems very futuristic, and I like it.
Here, does anyone want my stuff? Because I don't eat the stuff.
Mm. Oh, you do that?
I do this. This is my thing. This is my jam. Yes.
I would say these are pretty good.
You guys, these are delicious.
You can enter the screen.
They
it's
taste
okay.
like Cinnabon
if
in
you
a
would
biscuit.
Like to come in. And have some. There we go.
There it is.
The cookies no longer exist.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So real quick, ratings. Thumbs up on cinnamon Oreos. Cinnamon bun Oreos. Or thumbs down.
Thumbs up. A thumbs up. I'd give that a 9 out of 10.
I know this is only for a few people in the audience, but if you've ever flown on Delta Airlines and you've tried the cinnamon cookies, that's exactly what this tastes like.
Yeah, these are really good.
Yep.
I gotta say.
Those are. Oh, I know what brand you're talking about. Those are legit.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Biscoff or whatever those are. Seriously, does anyone want my cream?
I do not
eat this stuff.
These would be really good, by the way, to dunk into a really hot cup of coffee in the morning, especially a hot cup of milky coffee.
Mm-hmm. Milky coffee. Excellent. All right. I'm happy we did that because this is a flavor of Oreo I'd actually buy.
That was good. That'll carry us through the show. All right.
Oh, I know. I've got so much energy. All right. Mr. McIntosh is behind the controls today. And Mr. McIntosh, it is time for the news.
There's no notch obscuring part of this segment. It's Android news.
That's right. You are so right. We see everything in this segment.
That was pretty good, Josh.
There's no notch. But what there
is... What is there, Flo?
What there is a YouTube video from Google with a song that brings me back to, well, junior high, quite frankly. I don't know if you guys, my mouth is very, very, dealing with all the sugar that's in my mouth right now. So I apologize. But maybe you guys saw the video of the Google event that is happening October 4th, a Wednesday. This video, as maybe you guys have watched it, shows a search bar and people asking, or whoever is behind the keyboard, asking those questions that you often have about your phone.
Are these like, questions that we ask about our Google phone?
About our Google phone, perhaps, or maybe other phones, those of us that might use other phones. But yes, what do I do when I run out of storage?
Are they questions that ask me to ask more?
Oh, yes.
What about that?
Do we think these are questions that they're going to answer at the event?
Oh. No,
definitely but they
not.
Never say anything about an event. They just say find out more on this date, which I feel like I remember that from this time last year, too. They gave a date. They didn't necessarily say initially, we're having an event on a date and you should come see the thing, right? It was more like, we've got a date and something's happening then. Yeah. And then as we get closer, there will be a thing that's happening then.
And it's worth noting that I'm hearing reports that there are billboards in Boston. The East Coast of this October 4th event.
This was not a good tease. A good tease has to have something that's juicy. And right now they've got the billboard in Boston.
The background music.
Yeah, the background music. That's it. And juicy. That's it.
Well, what's the song in the video again?
It's Big Pun and Fat Joe. I don't want to be a player no more.
Oh, I'm sorry I asked them.
1997, yeah. For those of you.
It's unfortunate. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's a bad problem. I mean, like, the thing is like, we know this is coming. We know what it is, right? And so why build up hype? Like, it just seems like they're just acknowledging that the event is happening and here it is. And that's okay, I think. I think that's okay to manage expectations instead of building it into a tizzy.
I think they're trying to imitate the wrong thing from Apple. Apple is all about you build hype and you get people excited. The Pixel.
And it's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous now.
Right.
Yeah.
The Pixel, it doesn't need that. It's like, yeah, the Pixel, it's an awesome device.
It is a utilitarian phone that you will appreciate having spent money on, and you will find that your investment rings true.
Precisely. You don't have to hype it. It's its own hype. The people who are going to buy the Pixel don't care about the hype.
It's true.
I remember this time last year, ads like this, they were running it on TV, which made me think this ad isn't really about the event. It's more about the products. And it's more about building intrigue around what Google might have up its sleeve. We care about the event because we know that's when we're going to find out about the products. To the majority of people, they see that and they're like, I wonder what Google's going to do on that day. They're probably never going to know about the event, but they're going to hear about the products once the event happens.
They're going to see my pictures.
But if you're going to tease something and you are actually releasing something that's going to be revolutionary, you at least give some sort of visual representation of that, what that might be. Let's say
an outline.
It's the folding screen. Yeah, so you just have something that opens.
But that's what they did last year, remember? There was the outline. That's exactly what they did last year, in fact. And I think this, like, we know what it is. To Jason's point, us insiders know what's coming. To the, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people who don't know what's coming, it's, you know, intriguing. It's like that is Google's answering these questions. We're going to find out what that answer is. I think it's fine. You know, and I also think that we're probably drilling down too much into it, because in the end of the day, the teaser of the announcement is we're not going to remember that in a month. We're going to remember what's announced.
And there's no possible way we could know what's going to be announced.
You would think. You would think until, you know, and especially with that teaser not giving any information, but leave it to the good folks over at Droid Life.
They had an epic day today.
Not only to get some leaks, but get all the leaks. So first up, they got renders of the Pixel 2, which is built by HTC in three colors, black, white, and kind of blue. And apparently their leak is saying it's going to be a 64 gig model for $649 or 128 gig model for $749. And the renders of the Pixel 2 XL, the large phone, just in two colors, black and white and just black. So that's a nice little mixing of two colors there in one. And they've got a 64 gig model for $849 and 128 gig model for $949. So those are the phones. That's generally – I do like the black and white one, by the way.
Yeah,
I like
the little orange notch.
It's like a black and white cookie. I like it.
Whatever.
The orange shutter button or power button.
The button, yeah. I do like that. I don't like the XL, but I like the larger phone. But I like that, you know, kind of two-tone kind of color type thing. My takeaway from this is 64 gig, 128 gig. Have we, you know, like, remember the days of 16 and 32 gig?
Oh, yeah. Moved on from that.
Right? Storage is no longer an issue now in these phones, right?
Was there anything less than a 64 gig on last year's Pixel?
32. Minus 32.
There was 32. Okay.
There was 32.
I can't even remember.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure yours is 32.
It probably is. I can't remember.
Everything I keep this stuff straight.
They want you to put all that stuff in Google Photos, which is what I did. Yeah, so I leaned in Google.
Yep.
Good. Well, so, I'm happy. Yeah.
So those are the leaks of the phones, whether you want to believe them or not. We'll see what happens. The ones that got my head to turn were the leaked renders of the Google Home Mini, which is, I guess, the competitor to the Amazon Echo Dot.
Yeah.
And we're going to get a little mini Google Home Puck. In three colors, chalk, charcoal, and coral.
So
and the devices have four LEDs on top of the device that light up through the colored mesh. And that's going to sell for $49. And that is I think that's going to do very, very well as a product if it's real.
Yeah, I like the Riverstone look. It's, you know, it doesn't look like any of the other voice assistants. Give me that.
I love the coral. Sorry, Ron, continue, because there's another coral product that...
Yeah. So speaking of coral, they just doubled down on coral this year. Yeah, so Droid Life also had renders of the new Daydream View, which is the VR visor. And it comes in three colors, charcoal, coral, and fog, which might be inspired by San Francisco. And this shows a little evolution in the design of the Google Daydream VR headset. A little streamlined, but not a big change. It still looks very similar to the first version. $99, which is $20 yeah. more than last year's, which might be, wow. is that a price correction or who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. So. What's in it that's making it $100? Because I bought a $60 third-party Daydream headset and it works just as fine, if not a little bit better than the actual Daydream View that I have right now.
It's the mesh.
It's the mesh, it's the material. It's the materials. Mesh.
It's the sweatpan yeah. material.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's costly.
They get really gross, by the way.
Yeah, they
like,
do.
They sweat. It's like me, if I have makeup on, it's no way to wash it without replacing
well,
it.
Well, I can't do any VR without breaking out into a flop sweat. So, you know, that's going to be soaking into this wonderful mesh, which I'm sure will make it a very attractive thing for someone else to put on.
Yeah, no, don't do that. I learned that the hard way at a VR conference. Don't put on a Daydream View that everybody else is wearing. Oh. Yes,
it was like, remember that?
Yeah, people sweat. It's a thing. It, your body yeah. gets your brain's kind of freaked out, so it panics and it starts sweating.
And that's how you get acne, ladies. I mean,
or pink eye.
It's or one pink of the two.
Eye. I don't like this thing at all anymore.
Talk about these things, bacteria.
You got to get it all out on the table. It's a $20. Now, mind you, this is all still in the rumor territory. Everything looks pretty legit.
Sure, sure.
And we haven't got to one thing that I'm really excited about.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that
one
in a second.
More thing. Yeah,
But a $20 increase for a Daydream viewer, like. I feel like Google has to justify that.
That remote right? better be way better than the one that's on Daydream View right now, because the remote is the thing I have the most problems with when it comes to VR on the smartphone. So that tracking needs to be impeccable for an extra $20.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly what I completely agree. Like, there's something, like, you got to justify the extra $20 somehow.
$100? Come on. Well, when they're giving
maybe
out
it doesn't
gear,
matter.
VRs for
we'll
free.
We'll see if they explain it or if it's a price correction in relation to how much they sold in the first version.
Yeah.
You know, listen, this is what the true market size looks like. Let's price this differently. That happens, you know. But then finally, so we got one more thing to steal something from our friends across the street. The Google Pixel Book. In silver, which makes Jason gasp. So this is their new Chromebook tablet that folds into a tablet. Their Chromebook laptop that folds into a tablet. 128-gig model for $11.99.
Oh, my gosh.
256-gig for $13.99.
Oh, my God.
And 512-gig for $17.49. And the optional Pixelbook Pen, which is pressure-sensitive, got tilt support, no lag, for an additional $99.
So no Jason, lag, huh?
My God.
Like that Daydream remote?
My God.
Is this the Chromebook of your dreams, Jason?
There is no sugarcoating it or even Oreo cookie coating it. This is expensive for a Chromebook.
Yeah.
But it's the one I'm going to get. I mean, it's what I've been waiting for. It's what I've been waiting to replace
I've
this one
waiting,
with.
I've been waiting, right?
For a Chromebook with the last like Pixel you. Chromebook, it was state of the art. There was nothing else like it. Now, there are so many Chromebooks that are really, really good for half or less of the price.
Like mine, except for the trackpad.
Well, I mean, this, you know, the pricing of that kind of falls in line with, I mean, like their largest Pixel is just shy of $1,000.
Yes.
Which is apparently a theme this year on super duper premium phones, right around the $1,000 mark. I mean, Google's buckling down hard on this idea of these being premium, seen as premium as any other device out there. And they're like, yeah, we command that because it's got the Google name on it. Do you think that the Google name backs up that price category, that price point?
No, because it doesn't do all the things that my Windows or a Mac does.
Yeah.
So until it does that, I mean, I understand the materials costing money and the processor and all that. But
it's a showpiece. It's to show everyone, yeah, I got one of these.
Yeah, I have a Chromebook. I bought the Acer R13. I bought two Acer R13s to give to my parents because they're easier to manage and they're not going to do anything weird. And they only need browsing. But if I'm traveling, as you can see, I'm not traveling with my Chromebook. I'm traveling with my Windows computer because it does what I need it to do. I can edit video on this. I can run any application. So, you know, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a computer that's going to sit home most of the time.
But I'll make the argument that that somebody like you or me or Flo or whatever is a power user and needs a different kind of device.
Yes, granted. Yes,
and,
granted.
And that the, and that there there are, you know, whether it's business or family or whomever that want a solid, good laptop that, you know, is a convertible into a tablet and has all this kind of stuff. And they don't need all that. They're not editing video. They're just so I will. So my anecdote for Chromebooks is that I was shocked and surprised at the school district on Long Island where my niece is. She's a sixth grader into middle school this year. And on the first day of school, they handed her an Acer Chromebook.
Oh, wow.
All the kids in kids in school got an Acer Chromebook, and I went home and she's showing me it, and it's a convertible to a tablet, touchscreen, and I watched this kid, you know, go to the web, find an image, save it locally, make it the background in like 20 seconds. And like I thought oh, I'm going to have to show her how to do everything, and she just did it. And there's a generation that's going to be raised on this as their de facto laptop. Yep. And sure enough, I bet you, you know, with cloud storage and local storage increasing to the levels that are, that by the time she is in her 20s, they'll be editing video on these devices and things like that because everything will catch up.
And we
live and operate in an industry that requires a whole lot of multimedia manipulation and stuff
too.
What we do at its core is Photoshop and is video editing.
Yeah.
And requires, you know, all of these things. A lot of people, like what they do 99% of the time, relies on the web, and that's about it. They don't need those
spreadsheets. I'll tell you what though. Also, is that I have a MacBook Air that I don't have Photoshop installed on. I don't have the Creative Cloud installed on. And I've been on the road and I've had to edit photos and I've used Pixlr in the browser. Maybe 5 minutes of catching up to figure out how to do stuff. Yeah, oh, that's a different keystroke. Oh, great. And it works fine.
Yep. Here's the thing, though. Ron, absolutely with you. Most people don't need the power that we need. We are absolutely the outliers. And yes, I think it is a great school device. I think that students should be getting Acer R12s or R11s rather than iPads. They're less expensive, they last longer, and they do more. However, those use cases, which are great for the Chromebook, none of them assume a price of $1,100.
No, starting $1,100.
Right? So that's why that's so weird. That Pixel is so weird because it's like, okay, who's this for? Because the Chromebook idea is great, but $1,100, that's power user money, and the power user's not going to get a Pixel.
I don't know. Jason, are you going to get a Pixel? Because you're a power user.
Yeah, I'll be getting one of these.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. And this might be a tease for a future show segment, but I'm getting real close to the end of life of my Nexus 9.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking real hard at tablets and real hard at convertible laptops and wondering, do I just get a convertible Chromebook? Mm-hmm. You know, and in that regard, I'm walking around with a MacBook Air that doesn't have Photoshop on it. There's no reason why I couldn't switch to a Chromebook. If it's got a ton of local storage, which is the one thing that I really like to have, that $1,199 is the same price as a Mac laptop. And you know, if the specs are enough, it's definitely a curiosity as a traveling businessman, you know, on the planes and doing all this stuff, I would consider it.
Or you get a cheaper Chromebook and you pop in a micro SD card with an extra terabyte.
Possibly. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
Everybody's use case is a little different, right? Like I have a desktop at home that I use for music, and I would not use a Chromebook Pixel or a Chromebook for music production, but I don't need to. Last week went to the MWC Americas, mm-hmm. and I had packed in my backpack my MacBook Pro because I left this Pixel at work, and I got to the train station. I was like, there is no way on earth I'm carrying this around with me all day. It's big, it's heavy, and I just don't need it for anything other than maybe taking notes in a browser. I really wish I had my Chromebook Pixel right now. And that's one of the beauties of it, right? Like it's for a road warrior kind of perspective, and especially if you're in certain business careers or whatever. You want a laptop that does what you need, but also kind of has a certain quality to it. That's one thing that I really like about Pixel. Yes, it's more expensive, and there might be other options, but pretty much every other Chromebook I've ever used, I don't like as much as this one.
We also are failing to discuss this Pixelbook Pen, which is going to be a big part of this, because as we know, Google up until now, most of that stylus stuff has kind of been in Samsung's realm, at least when it comes in the Android sphere. Google hasn't really been...
Well, I saw this Pixel Pen and this and the Chromebook Pixel as straight, like, trying to keep Microsoft at bay with all the stuff that they're doing with the Surface. I mean, that the Surface stuff is gaining momentum. And I think Google sees that, and this is a way, you know, like I keep seeing in my dumb little game where I have to watch an ad. I see that commercial with that teacher who uses
the
rapping teacher, yeah. And they show him with a Surface tablet, he's using the pen, and he's drawing and doing all stuff like that. Like Google's hyper aware of that, and this is a direct response to that. Hmm.
And you want to have that on a Chromebook, because then when it goes to the education sector, you have teachers who are using this.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if there's a pen involved here, then there's more for us to learn about what and, you know, how that's integrated and why. They've got to give a purpose for why that exists and kind of detail that. So there's stuff that around the pen that we actually don't know. We just know that it exists.
Yeah.
What's happening on Chrome OS?
Right.
That's
there. The hooks aren't there. The hooks aren't there right now to turn this into something like what Microsoft has with the Surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right now, it sounds like stylus. And if it's a stylus, that doesn't get me super excited. Now, if it can detect pressure and angle.
It says pressure in this.
But really does it. Like an artist would actually want out of a pen.
And that's what the Chromebook cannot do right now as a two-in-one. Like, there's no... Yeah,
but I mean, I'm also excited about this because it has the tablet mode, right? And like, I haven't had an Android tablet in a while, and my advice for anyone asking about an Android tablet has kind of evolved to a point where, like, I don't advise on an Android tablet because there really aren't that many. I advise get a Chromebook that can convert into tablet mode, because then you get the benefits of both. You might
and
as well.
The Acer Chromebooks can run Android apps, well, in beta mode right now. So yay.
Yeah.
It works.
Well, I think kind of going forward,
but
they all can.
The only way to make the pen successful, and I hope you're listening to me, Google, is you need to make it so that when you charge it, it has to stick straight out from the USB port.
Yeah.
Only way, take it from me, take
like
it
from the bank. Like an appendage.
Yeah.
Yes, precisely.
In a very delicate, seemingly delicate manner.
Make the connector really easy to snap off.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, you'll never be able to put it in your bag.
So one more little rumor going back to the phones, though. Dave Ruddock over from Android Police, tweeted out that word on the street is that the Pixel 2 will be Verizon only again in the U.S., plus the Google Store. I don't know about 5, but probably.
Okay.
So it looks as if Pixel 2 teaming up with Verizon directly again, but you can get in the Google Store unlocked. So
To add on to that, there's also some details from 9to5 Google that the phones are going to be IP68 rated. So that's good news as far as I'm concerned.
Finally.
A lot of people were really kind of bummed that didn't happen on the first generation.
You know, I've been wanting to shower with my phone for the longest time.
Me too.
And,
I went into a pool this summer once. I went into a pool and I really wished I had a phone that I could take with
me.
Because I was going down a slide, and wouldn't it be so much fun to just be on Instagram stories like, woo, come with me into the water. I mean, guys, it's great content.
Always thinking about the content.
You need to think about the content.
Laser detect autofocus will include a USB-C to 35mm dongle, because it's pretty much 100% confirmed there is no headphone jack on these, so you're going to need the dongle in order to do it.
It's the future.
No.
It's the future.
No.
It's the future.
No. It's to sell you more Bluetooth devices, let's be real.
Stop whining. Kiss them goodbye.
No.
Launches with Google Lens. We heard about Google Lens at Google I.O., so that's probably going to end up being an exclusive, and we know how exclusive applies to Pixel phones. Exclusive.
For 6 months.
Until a couple of months later when it rolls out to everybody, because of course Google's going to let everybody do that. They benefit so much from having everybody do that. So it's only exclusive for a short period of time, I'm sure, and running 8.1 at launch, so a new version of Android. Yep. There we go. I think that's all we know.
All right. Well, I guess there's no point to cover the event.
Well, no, I was going to say, real quickly, how accurate do you think these are?
I think they're pretty darn accurate. I mean, I trust what I see from Droid Life and the kind of the amount. And you know, it doesn't go too deep into specs necessarily, but it touches on, you know, the images look proper. The details, it all seems to kind of fall in line. I'm really kind of eager to just find out more, though. You know what I mean? I feel like this is like baseline information.
Just now let it happen. I'm tired of all this waiting. This is the last thing we're really waiting for this year.
But aren't we kind of bummed that we know so much now?
Oh, God, we're so bummed. It's going to ruin the entire surprise of the event.
Exactly. I feel like, all right, melodrama. I feel like, shouldn't we have another Amazon announcement coming too? Like, I noticed that the Amazon Echoes are sold out and not being restocked yet. Given that the holidays are coming up, would you not be surprised if we get some Amazon products in this window at some point?
We already have the show. I mean, right?
They did the show.
They did the look.
Yeah.
How many more times can they update the same product? It's like, oh, this time the packaging is octagonal.
The cylinder is cylindery.
We didn't expect the show or the look, though. That's true. Came out of nowhere.
Like, we've made it out of mesh.
Yeah,
Amazon surprises you. I wouldn't count them out.
I might have something Amazon later in the show.
All right. Well then.
Uh oh.
So that's a good tease. Thank you, Jason. And in order to get to later in the show, let's thank our first sponsor.
Yes.
10 minutes later, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks, which makes running your business easy, fast, and secure with FreshBooks' all-new version of their cloud accounting software. You can gain quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and other accounting reports in the FreshBooks dashboard. You can send professional-looking invoices online and get paid an average of 11 days faster. Get paid quicker. That's the greatest thing about FreshBooks. See what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, and you can brand and set recurring invoices, sending automatic payment reminders, or set automatic late fees. If you need to get paid, FreshBooks is one of the best tools to help you get your clients to pay up. And you can reward those prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. And when it comes time to create an invoice, FreshBooks helps you know what you did and when you did it. You can bill for time by client and by specific projects, and just press play to track your time to the minute. You can assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service. Time entries are sorted chronologically on the invoice for you automatically, and you stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. So you can snap a photo of your receipt or connect your bank account and credit card to automatically import expenses daily. And listen, if you ever had to manage your expenses, that's an amazing bit of functionality right there. And if you have any questions, you can access FAQ articles with FreshBooks' new help widget. Simply click on the blue question mark in the bottom right of your desktop. It's no wonder that FreshBooks was included in Forbes' Small Giants list for 2017. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/AAA. Tell them you heard about it from All About Android. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode and for keeping our businesses afloat by getting paid promptly. Thank you, FreshBooks.
Thank you, FreshBooks. Okay, it's time for a little bit, just a dash of hardware. You know, we've got a little Amazon on the mind.
There
well,
it is. See?
Considering it's one of like the few companies still making tablets,
that's true.
We do have them on the mind. So, actually, you may have heard that there's a new update to Amazon's Fire HD 10 tablet that has what else? Your favorite. That's got built right in. It's been upgraded to a 1080p display. It's got a faster 1.8 gigahertz quad-core processor. It's got improved 2 gigs of RAM.
Oh, yeah.
Which is up making me laugh. I think because when you look at the tablets coming out, it's all 4. And the phones coming out, it's 4. You've got 32 and 64 gigabyte options. And pre-orders begin today. It's launching officially next month on October 11th. And it starts at $150.
Compared to $230,
last year's.
So, not bad.
I mean,
slashing the price.
It's still a budget tablet in that category, I would say.
Yeah.
So, but it is Amazon, so you are buying a tablet that is directly infused with Amazon's content library. So, if you're really into that ecosystem, it might be a surefire bet for you.
I bought an Amazon Fire tablet for one reason and one reason alone.
Go ahead.
And that was because it had the ability to download Amazon Video.
Oh yes,
for offline.
But you don't need that anymore.
I don't need that on any Android or iOS device. I can do that now. Yep. So why am I going to buy a cheap tablet?
Because it's cheap, and you just want a tablet. You just want something to... We get a lot of questions people asking, like, is there a tablet just for browsing the internet, just so that I can, you know, check email?
That's
and
what I have my Chromebook
things.
For.
To your point, Padre, earlier about your parents, I got my mother a Fire tablet a couple of years ago, and she uses it every day for the web, for email, for reading books. Like, it was literally the perfect device for her.
Wow. I will grant you that, because I got my mom a Fire tablet back when they were $50, and she uses it for one thing. She plays music off of Amazon Music because it's tied to my account.
Okay.
And that's it. It's like it's a single device that just does just that.
And so she's playing music off of it, like plugging headphones in, or it's connected to speakers?
It's connected to the Bluetooth speakers.
Like go to and like, just I want to listen to this album.
But she doesn't even know there's any other apps on that thing. That's the one thing
$50,
that runs.
It can be a single use device for that one. I know which one you're talking about, that they came in the blister packs.
We bought 15 of them,
a pack. A pack. In fact, when my desk was, well, you can't see if you're watching, but on the other side of that wall, I had a little display of my Android devices. And if I remember correctly, that particular Android tablet fell between the cubicle and the wall. So whenever this building is torn down somewhere in the long, far distant future, they will find an Amazon tablet hiding between the walls. By a tablet.
It's like a time capsule. Tablet.
Yes, I know. Who knows what's on it? Probably not much, because I really didn't do much with it, but there you go.
One more thing to note about this, of course, I did mention that it has the voice assistant built in, so somebody made the case in the chat room. It probably could be used as a Echo Show in some instance. You could maybe call
I feel
out,
Echo.
Maybe.
But, I mean, you're so limited on horsepower. I don't know how well that would work.
Well, okay, you wouldn't be able to do, like, the try-on clothes stuff, but you'd be able to do the cooking stuff if you need.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Or, you know.
Oh, I see what you mean. Just
score.
Like
you could
a
use
screen.
A little entertainment hub if you've got the other Amazon Fire devices in your home. So
I wonder if you can do the video calling from that, too.
That is a good point.
It might get a little warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little hot.
I'm sure there's going to be ways to route this and turn it into pure Android. There always is.
Yeah.
But I mean, and Amazon knows that, which is why they haven't really scaled up the hardware as much
as
they can.
Why should they?
Yeah, there's no need to.
It's going
to
sell like hotcakes. Yeah. Right. Just like the other Amazon stuff has. Yeah. I mean,
what I do find interesting, though, is the inclusion of Alexa on the device, and we're seeing that the assistants are being integrated more and more. And, you know, before we were grousing about the lack of the headphone jack. But now we're starting to see wireless headsets with Google Assistant built in. Mm-hmm. Like for example, the Bose Quiet Comfort 35-2, which are wireless headsets that a big marketing aspect of it is that Google Assistant built in. These wireless headphones are going to be released on Friday, September 22nd for $349. And the Beasto device category has been in the rumor mill for a while. It's been hinting at the wireless headphones with the system built in. And the platform was expected to be announced at the October 4th event. So maybe this is a little getting ahead of that or kind of a little bit of a leak there. Or maybe Droid Life didn't have the fact that Google might have their own version of these headphones. And these are coming out ahead of that for some reason, for market dominance or whatever. But no matter what, we've got Google Assistant integrated into the headphones, into wireless headphones, which I think is pretty neat.
I cringe a little bit because we keep using the trigger word, and from the know-how show that I do, we've kind of eradicated that from our vocabulary. We always call it the Amazon voice assistant.
Yeah, I try to do that.
Is this
too.
A South Park moment? Yeah.
I did. Kind of is.
Just kidding.
It really is. No, it's a Burger King moment.
That's right.
We've been pretty good about saying OKG instead of the trigger word for Google Home. We've definitely been showing more deference to Google Home than to Echo.
Right.
So,
sorry.
Are you that surprised?
But I can't wait until the Amazon voice assistant is built into headphones. So as you pass by people on the street wearing Bose, you can just scream it out and trigger it. Come on.
I don't think it's going to work like that. It's got a summon button.
Yeah.
Click the button, tap it or whatever. It's kind of like what you have on the Apple things, the AirPods, buds, the AirPods that you, it has a buds. Button that you tap and that's what summons Siri. I think that's the same here, but I feel like rumors have kind of been bubbling around possible in-ear phones similar to what Apple has from Google. Maybe they were confused and this is what it is, or maybe you know, we're going to hear more about this assistant built-in
right.
thing that we really haven't heard very much about yet. It's hitting a product at the end of this week.
If you go back to that Google teaser, one of the questions was assistant related, I believe. It was like, why does my phone know what I want to know? You know, like, why can I talk to
Why can't it
like
be
that.
Smarter?
Yeah, why can't it be smarter? So guaranteed, I bet you there's going to be a large aspect of assistant there. They're saying, why is my phone battery always dying, out of storage? Blurry photos straight to the camera. And then I think this one, it says, why doesn't my phone understand me? That's the assistant.
Because we're sentient beings and your phone is not. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. It doesn't have emotions. It can't gauge how you're feeling that day. What else do you want out of it?
Yeah. Why does Google keep making Google Now not very good anymore?
That wasn't in the video.
Get me started, by the way. For some reason, Google Now is making the tragic mistake of sending me baseball updates for the Dodgers.
You don't do that.
Wow,
Google
that's
now.
Real bad.
Like, I can understand. It started off giving me Mets updates, as it should, and I can understand it also gave me Giants updates, because while I lived in San Francisco, I went to a lot of Giants games and I was active in, you know, Giants stuff. But I never want to know what's going on with the Dodgers at all.
I noticed that two seasons ago on my my Now cards. Because, of course, which teams do you follow? And so San Francisco Giants and a couple of – it started giving me all these other teams, and there was no way for me to say, I never want to see this team. I don't care about this team. Don't show this team. It just kept putting them up, because I think in its algorithm, it's like, oh, you're interested in baseball. Therefore, you want to see all the good teams. I'm like, yes, because I want to be reminded that that team is doing so much better than mine. Thank you, Google. It's a sports ball.
Is nobody else annoyed by the fact that this whole thing with the headphone jack, Bluetooth headphones, is not annoying?
Embrace the future. No bezels, no headphone jacks. Get on board.
It just feels like a ploy to make me buy more stuff.
Yeah, I love the fact that everyone's going to have to use Bluetooth devices, because it makes it a lot easier for me to hack their phones.
I'm just going to say the security implications of not having a cord that's tethering you to your actual things.
Blueborn in the house.
I got to tell you, the more and more I've been using past 2 months, I've been like, you know, I'm ready for Bluetooth headphones. I'm so sick of being on the subway and having my headphones get caught on someone's bag, or like having to wrap the cord and getting a knot and not being able to untie it by the time I get on the subway, or losing it in my bag when I was on the plane this weekend. You know, like I'm ready for Bluetooth headphones. I'm officially in the market for them. Even the phones I have will have a headphone jack with the Pixel, the old Pixel. I will still go use Bluetooth headphones as soon as I pick my right pair, because I'm ready to embrace the future. I'm tired of the cable.
I just want Bluetooth to be better. Better before I'm forced to do that. You mentioned Blueborn. I had it a little bit later, but I'll talk about it here real quick right now. Blueborn basically is a hack of some sort that allows someone that's near an unpatched Android device, or I think iOS.
30 feet.
Within 30 feet, to connect and control that device with no input from the user. And Apple, Google, Microsoft have all patched at this point. So they've issued patches. This month's security patch actually has the fix. It wasn't announced publicly until that rolled out. So the timing was there for that. But you know how it is.
In the world of Android, lots
of unpatched devices.
Samsung.
Oh.
Samsung has not patched it.
Oh.
So, you know, good thing that they don't make many Android handsets.
Yeah, good thing they're not like the prime.
Or tablets, you know, Bluetooth.
Or Bluetooth devices. Headphones, or Bluetooth dongles, or Bluetooth connected appliances.
And here's the other thing. Think of how many dumb devices, car stereos, speakers, have Bluetooth chipsets that will never be patched.
Yeah.
Yep. Ever.
Because they can't be patched.
Right.
Yeah.
You're making this sound real fun.
Look at what you guys all did.
See, this is what happens.
This is what happens.
Going all in on Bluetooth. This right here, Ron.
I'm for it. Future. Embrace it.
Bring it on, hackers. okay, and back to the hardware news. The creators of the Frank phone. Have you been following the Frank phone
fiasco?
It probably qualifies as a fiasco. The folks behind Frank went to Indiegogo earlier this month to release a phone, kind of as an antidote to this trend of overly costly devices. Kind of their view is that devices cost too much, they offer too little for that amount, and the folks behind Frank say they can offer a phone that's costs a lot less and still is very, you know, good on the inside. They sought $250,000 in funding to bring their $180 5.5 inch device with reasonable specs to market, along with a very edgy campaign, by the way, included lots of swear words and finger gestures to the big guys. Android police called them out for not being so frank in their promotional materials. They used lots of whiteboard drawings and references to, you know, the many design variations, models, prototypes, etc., that they went through in order to come up with the Frank phone, to illustrate kind of the journey that it took to bring this to the Indiegogo campaign. Yet the specs and the design were identical to an existing Alibaba reference design. And so the only difference was that the Frank phone logo on the back of the phone. And then I guess slight changes to the capacitive buttons. So I guess there's a little bit of difference there. Had other issues also, overpromising on support and a few other things. Well, apparently the Indiegogo has now suspended the project, closed by Trust and Safety due to a violation of our terms of use. And I'm not really quite sure what that violation actually is, but there were a lot of people kind of calling it out, saying, what's going on here? You guys aren't being very upfront.
Well, it's Indiegogo. You're supposed to be supporting independent designers and developers and people who are really trying to do something. Maybe they didn't, you know, wanted to go the Indiegogo route.
Well,
can't be selling a copycat device.
They had a tweet early on before they launched their Indiegogo that hinted to the fact that they were launching on Kickstarter and then suddenly came around on Indiegogo. And I mean, if you know how the two different platforms differ, Kickstarter has a little bit more stringent level of requirements for the projects that are launched there. Indiegogo is a little bit more freewheeling on the back end. You can get away with more on Indiegogo than you can on Kickstarter. And that was another kind of red flag that Android police looked at, saying, why were you Kickstarter and now suddenly you're not? Like, was it not going to work as a Kickstarter? But because
was
Indiegogo,
the scam not going to work on a Kickstarter?
Do you think this was a scam? Well, yes. I guess that's the question, because I didn't really follow this for a long time. I saw it bubbling up and people talking about it, but I never read into it. And then today I saw the news about Indiegogo kind of canceling it, so I did. But, I mean, was everybody just saying, like, this is totally a scam? Is that kind of the charge on this?
I understood people were somewhat excited about this, just the idea of, like, a new phone coming into the scene. But this is not really captured by it.
You were not enamored by
it. It didn't seem. I don't know. Well, now we know it's a scam.
Well, I mean, the thing about both Kickstarter and Indiegogo is you're not allowed to take money to develop an idea.
And it's got to be already developed.
You've got to have something. And every post that I've seen about this has been, look, this is just a really bad Photoshop, or this is just an OEM photo from some Chinese manufacturer. They haven't actually created anything. So essentially what they were doing was they were hoping to gather enough money to buy enough units at volume so they could sell crappy units and then make whatever's left over. That's absolutely against the terms of use for both Indiegogo and Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
Too bad, because that was, you know, my backup plan to just buy stuff off Alibaba and then sell it.
And come on, $180 for a 5.5 inch phone. What kind of phone do you think you're going to get?
Something really chummy.
Running Android 2.1 or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we're seeing a lot of low cost, reasonably spec'd devices. It wouldn't surprise me to find a 5.5 inch device in that price range.
Even motor phones are around the 200 mark.
But I mean, you know, anytime you're in that price range, especially when you're new to the industry, to making phones, yeah, it's really hard to know exactly what that translates to, because you don't have economies of scale at that point. Like, not compared to a lot of others. OnePlus had to work up to that. OnePlus did amazingly well considering how they started.
They had very aggressive marketing tactics as well. It wasn't just like
And many would say they had the actual backing of a very major company behind them with Oppo.
Which
is easy to forget, right? Like we think of OnePlus as the scrappy startup, and
yet,
behind the scenes, Oppo is involved.
But that's the difference. They had engineers. They had a design. They had hardware. These guys weren't engineers. They were entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Who had a business model.
Entrepreneurs, which means I want to make money, please. Right.
So, yeah, their business model was, you give me a lot of money and I will buy something that costs a little bit less.
Give me a lot of money.
That's not what
Kickstarter
was for.
I won't do anything with it. Just give me a lot of money.
Well, I think they had like one person to handle software support, which, you know, with updating your phones, any other.
And his job was to answer the phone and say, have you tried turning it off and back on again? That was support.
Anyways, there you go. That's the story of the Frank phone. We have an email, Ron.
Yes, we do. And Jason, am I reading this correctly? Is this email from our friend Sam?
Yes, it is. Sam Abu-El-Samid from Navigant Research. We have him on Tech News Today pretty frequently to talk about autonomous vehicle stuff.
Sam's a great guy. So Sam writes in and says, you've probably seen the reports in the past day about Google exchanging defective Nexus 6Ps with Pixel XLs. Well, I can tell you it's true. I love confirmation of rumors. The battery in my 6P, which I got in January 2016, has been fading pretty dramatically over the past several months. I installed AccuBattery a couple of weeks ago and reported my capacity was down to 47% of the original, about 1,650 milliamp, which is consistent with the performance I've been getting. I decided to try Google support since I bought the phone directly from the Google store and got on a chat with one of their support people to ask if they had a battery replacement program. Turns out they do not. But after explaining that I had done all the usual stuff and the phone was not rooted or modded, he offered to send me a replacement. Since the 6P is gone, they're replacing my 64-gig phone with a 128-gig Pixel XL because they don't offer a 64-gig model in the Pixel XL. I've really enjoyed my 6P, and I didn't intend to upgrade yet. I just wanted a new battery. I was even willing to pay for the battery replacement. I'd reach out to Google before these reports started appearing in the last day. I remember back to the Nexus One days when Google first tried to sell phones and had zero customer support. I can now report they have an outstanding report and will definitely buy another Google phone when I replace the Pixel XL that should arrive tomorrow. That's amazing.
Dang.
Wow. That's awesome.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately, there's a sad plot twist to the story. Is that Google has now reversed this policy and this isn't going to work for you anymore. So good job, Sam. Way to get in under the wire.
Honestly, when this started happening, like I got this email from Sam. I saw on Reddit there was a post. I mean, people jumped at the chance because once they heard about this, everybody started contacting Google and saying my Nexus 6P has bad battery issues.
My husband tried, but he...
And it didn't work for your
husband? Well, he replaced the battery on his 6P. He had the exact same problems where it was like telling him he only had this much battery, whatever. But yeah, he voided the warranty, so he couldn't do that.
Because
he replaced it with a third-party battery.
This is so short-sighted. I mean, it's not sustainable, but this is what made Apple such a powerhouse for this, because people had these stories of, I broke my laptop. I sat on it and I cracked the screen and I brought it into the Genius Bar and I was crying and they told me, hey, one time we're going to replace this.
Crying will get you far,
They made an Apple customer for life. Google could have done this. It's like, wait, Google's just going to replace it? Well, I'm going to buy Google again.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
But that's what they've been doing, too. Yeah. I mean, we've been hearing, even before this, we heard stories of Google going above and beyond for in the customer support phase. This is not a new story. You know, it's unfortunate that they're not replacing the 6Ps with Pixel XLs anymore in this way. But these swaps, we've heard this time and time again for 2+ years now, Jason.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I mean, it's happened here and there at different times, suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere. And you know, sometimes it feels like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because, I mean, what they did was above and beyond. They really didn't need to do that.
But I'm sure some bean counter looked at that and said, oh, we can't do this. We're losing millions.
Maybe it's not like, sustainable.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, guy, long game. Long game. Yeah. Apple played a 30-year game, and that's why they are so good right now.
Yeah.
You have to play that.
Yeah, that's true. Although they do offer a support plan when you buy a Pixel. They offer the support plan. That's kind of the option now is, like, if you want this kind of service or this kind of support, pay for the replacement plan.
Back to that example, the laptop thing. That wasn't just anecdotal. My sister did that. And it was literally a brand new MacBook that it was a MacBook Air, and then she sat on it and she cracked the screen. And she brought it back and she was like in tears. She's like, I just got this thing. And they asked her, well, did you buy the protection? And she said, no, I didn't. And he said, how about this? Buy the protection. One time we will replace it. She remembers that. Now she always buys the protection.
Yeah.
It, again, you know, It's those little things. Yeah. She that happened 20 years ago, and now she only buys Apple.
And now Apple gets that protection fee from your sister.
Yep.
That extra bit of money whenever she buys a device.
Yep. Always the long game.
Yeah. Very, very true.
And you know, with potentially Google, potentially, possibly, maybe, allegedly buying HTC, allegedly, maybe, possibly.
Potentially.
Then, you know, it'd be easy. They'd just be like, yo, factory, just someone over to what's-her-face in Colorado. And
yeah. Yeah. You'd have people for life. I mean, for however long you're a company.
I heard that Google's going to buy Nokia.
That's a fun rumor. That's a fun one.
This is how rumors get started.
That'd be
folks.
Fun.
Let's come up with some really cool rumors right now. No, let's take a break instead.
Yes.
And thank the sponsor, and then we could talk about some app news. We actually have an app segment today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get there, we're going to take a moment to thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is Dollar Shave Club. I don't know if you noticed. My face is smooth, it's silky, it's soft because I shaved with Dollar Shave Club today. By now, everyone knows that Dollar Shave Club ships amazing razors for a few bucks. I've been a member for a while. I love what I'm getting from Dollar Shave Club. Great products. What you might not know is that Dollar Shave Club also has products for pretty much everything else you need in the bathroom. Body wash, shampoo, hair gel, lip balm, everything. There are too many options at the store, and you can't tell the difference between any of them. And if you have any questions, the clerk, of course, they're not going to really help you because they're not seen as experts on these products. They just know that it's on the shelf. Dollar Shave Club makes it easy and convenient for you to upgrade your shave and your bathroom products. Now you don't have to step foot in a store to get a high-quality shave and grooming products. They'll deliver them right to your door. Just like their razors, all their products are super high quality. And like I said, you know, they left me looking handsome, feeling amazing. I think you can all agree about that, right? For premium ingredients to sophisticated scents, Dollar Shave Club is changing the game. So if you're sick of the nonsense at the store, now's the time to try out Dollar Shave Club. For limited time, DSC is basically giving away their starter set to new members for only $5. That's it. The starter set features their executive razor, which includes their premium weighty handle and full cassette of cartridges. You will also receive 3 trial-sized versions of their most popular products that help you stay fresh and clean. Shave butter, of course, super smooth, body wash, and one wipe Charlie's butt wipes. You heard me correctly. After the first box, replacement cartridges are sent for only a few bucks a month. This offer is exclusively available at dollarshaveclub.com/android. There is no better time to try the club, so check it out, dollarshaveclub.com/android. And we thank Dollar Shave Club for their support, making me laugh while I read the ad copy.
No need to laugh. Those things really come in handy.
No, I'm dead serious.
When you fly.
Yes.
When you're on an airplane.
I keep like 5 of them in my bag. They really do make a difference.
Yes, they really
seriously.
Have.
Yes. We're all on the same
page.
We're
all humans, okay?
All right, we are. It's true. All right, hey, we've got some app news. Let's do it. Fire it up. All right, so all along, Ron and I talked about this on Tech News Today yesterday, and I realized that we were saying it wrong. Ron, it's fun to call it Tez because it rhymes with Pez.
Tez, yes.
But it's actually Taze.
Taze? Like
apparently. Yeah, but not spelled that way. It's more spelled T-E-Z, but it's pronounced Taze. What is Taze? This is an app that's rolling out in the Indian market to start, in the Asia market, but in India initially. For cashless payments. So it's not a mobile wallet necessarily that carries a balance. You're not going to like deposit money into this, carry a balance like you might with like Android Pay or something. Mm-hmm. Although Android Pay does link to existing accounts. That's what this does. It's more of a link to your existing accounts. Apparently the Indian market, the money market anyways, is really fragmented and has been a very cash-focused society, cash-focused market, low credit card penetration. But, you know, the world is changing a lot, and so much is happening online, and people are taking cards and everything. They're really trying to increase that type of money in the country. So there's a government-backed effort called Unified Payments Interface, UPI, that's helping in that. that government-backed payment standard is kind of being implemented to tackle just like the fragmentation of the money market in India. So Google is kind of is rolling out this app to try and get in on that. There's no fee for payments or transactions, so Google's not necessarily making any money on it yet. But what's interesting here is that it's the first time that it's using something called AQR for payments. AQR is this audio QR code technology that you've probably heard us talk about in Chromecast, where you can connect to a Chromecast through these inaudible, at least to the human ear, audio chirps that are sent out from the Chromecast to the phone, and they can kind of talk their language and we don't hear it as human beings. That's how these phones using this app connect to each other.
Like a dog whistle.
So yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, it's just high enough frequency that we can't hear. So exactly. So if you and I had the app and I wanted to give you money, because I always want to give you money because you're awesome.
Well, thank you.
My phone would chirp your phone and we'd just transfer money like that.
Wow, that's really clever. That's really innovative. And what a great way to sort of reach out to a market that, well, there's a lot of people that you can
tap into
exactly in a manner that doesn't
chirp into
wholly rely on, I mean, does this wholly rely on wireless connectivity? Like, do you need?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, a lot of the devices in India are low cost devices.
Exactly.
So they don't have NFC built in,
right?
NFC ends up being one of those things on a spec that it gets added on mid to high end devices. And I feel like we don't even really talk about NFC very much anymore on this show, but it's a extra feature that you don't find a whole lot in lower spec devices. A lot of those devices are in India, so instead you just use what a phone already has.
Let's not sell NFC short, though. As I was talking, we were on TNT yesterday, and I was raving because I finally set up the Bank of America Android Pay integration, where now I just tap my phone to the ATM, and then it comes up saying, enter your PIN. I never take the card out of my wallet, which is amazing and works great. But this audio QR stuff, I think, it blows my mind, too, Flo, because I think it's amazing. It's totally innovative. But, you know, back to Padre's thing earlier about Bluetooth and hackers, I got to wonder – can you set up a device to capture this and then do something?
I saw you smirking the whole time I was talking.
Let me play devil's advocate because hey, cool new tech I like. However, one of the main things missing out of this article and all the articles about this technology is, well, what exactly are they transferring? Is this a tokenized payment a bit? Mm. Are they tying into a different API that maybe it contains the actual sensitive information? So that's one part, but that's easily fixable. The second part is NFC has a bit more security because it's extremely short range. It's almost physical contact for you to be able to get any sort of connectivity. Ultrasonic just means it's above 20 kilohertz. 20 kilohertz is the range of human hearing. That sound travels really well. And I have a device actually in this box right now that I didn't know about this article, in this box that can be recording at all times and just wait for that tone. And I can record it and play it back. Now, if the information is tokenized, then that doesn't matter. But if it's not, and you're transferring information to me that I can use, that's a huge problem.
I just found an article on IndiaTimes.com where they say that Google's machine learning-based fraud detection engine and multiple levels of security ensure that all transactions on the platform are secure. Multiple levels.
That sounds suspiciously like pay no attention to the
very
man
open.
The curtain.
Yeah, very open ended there. I want to know more.
So no, just don't think about it. Okay, don't think about it.
Interesting.
Yes, don't think about the 2 billion people who are paying with this unsecure chirping mechanism. No, we don't know if it's unsecure. I mean, really?
No, that's it.
I trust that it's secure to a certain degree. I don't think Google would roll this out.
I don't think so.
Market like India and have it not be secure.
It would be so
bad. I mean, Google's normally pretty good about if it is secure, they release the details. I was like, yeah, of course, we'll tell you exactly how it works.
Because we really don't know very much about this as I look into it.
Well, they've been busy lately, paying the EU back and dealing with the gender wage gap and,
No, they're challenging that judgment.
I think today they've been busy knocking on Droid Life's door going, dudes, what are you doing? Quit leaking all our stuff.
Gosh.
Jeez. I thought we were friends.
thought you were going to be cool, bro. We were cool.
Speaking of well, related to leaks anyways, Flo.
Well, not so much a leak, but it's a legitimate, good old-fashioned teardown, y'all.
Yeehaw.
Over at 9to5 Google, we got a beautiful teardown of the latest update to the Google app, the beta Google app. So if you're part of the beta, you are seeing this update right now. So first of all, just a couple things that are in the app. We've got evidence of the active edge, quote unquote, which is apparently the squeeze gesture for the Pixel 2 that has yet to be announced, that we are anticipating to arrive or rather be launched on October 4th. We've also got evidence of routines, which is somewhat related to the Google Assistant shortcuts, which I've been using at home with my connected things.
See, I've not used that. How are you good. Using
I use
it?
Them with the Philips Hue. Yeah, to kind of like I give the rooms like their little names and then you can like program little things. That way you can ask Google Home to do stuff just based on.
So is it a combination of things or is that what routine? Like I was trying to understand what's the difference between.
Well, a routine is, for the way I understand it in the Internet of Things like terminology, it's when, you know, if this, then that. Like that's okay. That's sort of the routine.
Right.
So if I walk in through the door and you notice my phone, ping the Wi-Fi and turn on the lights.
Yeah. It could be something like, nice. Hey, voice assistant name. I want to watch a movie. And it knows, okay, yeah. If he wants to watch a movie, turn on the hallway lights because he's got to get over to the movie room and dim the lights to where he wants them and turn on the mood lighting,
exactly.
Turn on the TV and get the thing ready to stream.
Yeah. So you give it like its own little name.
But that's not going to work if you say voice assistant name. You have to say, hey, LRKG.
You just had to do it, Ron.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No,
but
jerk.
I mean, but that's the thing. Those recipes, those, you know, like kind of, you know, like it's more than just turning something on. It's triggering a bunch of actions.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Also, we've got evidence of or references rather to a Google bar. Which has
there.
A lot to do with search, not with any alcohol. Sorry to
they
say.
Serve.
I almost got really excited there for a second.
It's
Jason, well done.
Uncertain if it's a widget or just a quick search bar on the notifications. Who knows? We'll see. There's options in there to customize it. We've also got more voices for Assistant, which I have to say, being on the Material podcast and hearing Russell Ivanovich's version of Google Assistant is always creepy because it's like it's the down under version.
Down under.
He's Aussie.
Yeah.
So it's not my, you know, American.
You're just
Google.
Not used to it.
It's no, she has an accent.
I do have to throw this in there because in the chat room, Bleak, he has the best routine. It'd be OKG, Netflix, and chill.
Nice.
You start up the hot tub, turn on the disco ball, turn on the TV, right?
That's
who hasn't been there?
That's Bleak.
Start up the hot tub time machine. also, new hot words for Assistant, which I'm sure excites those of you who are very sick of saying OKG
or whatever.
Whatever.
Or
it's unclear whether you'll be able to change them yet, so maybe wait a little bit on that, see what happens. Also, more sleep sounds. But this isn't just, you know, more ambient noise to choose from. This is actual sleep sounds that will play until you fall asleep.
Like someone snoring?
Yeah. Well.
No, it's actually sounds of people asleep.
The string name says meditation, nature, ocean, sleep. So you'll be able to select the sound.
Sounds to put you to sleep, not sounds of sleep.
Yes, and those shut off automatically.
I don't know about you, but there's only two sounds that work for me as white noise. One is the sound of a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is the sound of like the ocean, literally the ocean
waves.
Yeah,
that's I fall asleep to.
I'm to the point where the fan noise makes me fall asleep so well that I have to wean myself off the fan after summer because I don't want to be addicted to it. So fan noise, but then also plane engine noise puts me out like a light.
Oh wow,
love it, love it.
Lastly, just so we can get through these little things, because they are exciting, at least for me, this particular one is a couple of updates to the way that you command podcasts, which if you've ever struggled with getting your podcast to play with Google Home, you will appreciate this. It'll let you say things like continue last played podcast. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to go back to, you know, Pocket Cast and like scrabble to where I was listening last and then cast it again manually. It's like, it's annoying and I just want to do the darn dishes.
I don't want to spend 10 minutes
pulling
out my queue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So lots of goodness hidden in there. Yay.
Nice.
Yay.
Good news. Cool. Samsung has some goodness.
Yeah, some goodness unhidden. I don't know. We're going to scratch your head with this one, but there's an update for the Galaxy S8. S8 Plus and the Note 8 devices that's rolling out to include the ability to disable the Bixby button.
What?
Now you can't remap the Bixby button to something else. You can just make it not trigger Bixby. And therefore, we feel as if this update is pretty random, and it seems to be rolling out slowly at the moment. If you do disable the button, you can still access Bixby Home by swiping left on the home screen, similar to the Google Now swipe left. But you really got to wonder, why are they letting you turn off the Bixby button?
That's, it's a fidget button.
That's how bad it is. Oh. Bixby is so bad that people would rather have a useless button on their phone than have it activate Bixby.
I've got to believe this is in advance of something else that's coming, whether it's Google Assistant or something else. But I don't. Why would they just make it, hey, turn this off?
Because people are complaining. They're complaining that they keep accidentally hitting it. And I think that's more annoying than... I don't think it necessarily means Bixby is bad. I just think it means maybe people don't want to keep automatically bringing it up.
I will say Bixby is bad.
Do you think this is more response to user demand? Is that what it is?
Yes, because everybody has been complaining about it, and they've been trying so hard to remap that button, which now I guess you still can't do that.
Right. Let us remap it. Come on. At that point, it's just like a dead button on my phone. Like,
a fidget button.
Weird. I think that's a great idea. Like, you hit it and a little fidget spinner.
Just like, you know, I don't want to, you know.
No. Don't encourage a solution that invented a problem.
We didn't need another voice assistant when Bixby was announced. We still don't need another voice assistant.
It's supposed to not be a voice assistant. It's supposed to be the navigational interface. It's the user experience assistant. It's supposed to help you through the user interface, not necessarily deliver content.
We're very excited about all the new features Bixby will be bringing you, like being able to be turned off.
You're going to love turning it off.
But it edits, it crops photos.
Too funny.
I tried.
You did. No,
I tried.
That was an honest effort. That really was an honest effort. Thank you.
Supporter.
Because I'm here. It's not just because of that, though. I hear a lot of little rumblings about like AI and how like they want all the AI is going to drive the interface and AI. And so I'm like, okay, it's AI.
So
fine.
If it really is AI, then disabling Bixby is like killing a sentient being. Oof. Oh, that's harsh. That.
Perhaps it's better for us as a humanity, though, because we all saw what happened in AI.
Yes. Yeah, wait, did we? Because I'm really confused about that movie.
That movie was so sad.
You guys cry on each other's shoulders while I read this email from Brian.
Okay.
Brian wrote in, thank you, Brian, for writing in, to say, I've heard you guys talk many times about not needing to root your phone anymore, mostly because of manufacturers thinning out the extras on top of Android, so most phones look pretty clean. However, as you also mentioned on previous episodes, the average length of ownership for a phone is a couple of years, the U.S. being the country that changes out their cell phones the most often. But even then, that means half the phones in the U.S. are older than 2 years. Here in Canada, it's closer to 3 years average cell phone lifetime. I've seen my own phones that you are lucky to get Android updates or even security updates after 2 years. So for me, with a two-year-old OnePlus 2, I am considering installing Lineage OS. By the way, pretty upset about not getting Android 7 after it was promised. Yeah, you should be upset about that. That sucks. And then he went on to kind of illustrate all of the different old phones that he's extended the life on for all of the members of his family by rooting. And that's a really great kind of example of why you still might root, you know. We've talked about this a number of times on the show. Like, is rooting as big a deal now as it used to be?
No.
There are still, you know, and I don't feel like it is.
Yeah.
From an enthusiast standpoint, there's still a group, you know, there's still a large group of people doing that, but it's not as essential. But when you start getting to the 2 year mark or beyond, you start to kind of feel that. You realize you don't get any updates anymore, but someone's updating it and they're creating these third party ROMs, and that helps.
I feel like the rooting example that we give isn't so much because the operating systems now are pared down or more closer to stock or whatever. It's because they've taken a lot of the functionality that you could get from rooting and have integrated that into the operating system. So that one feature that you previously could get by rooting is now baked into Android. Yeah. So the need to root is less. But an amazing use case for rooting and an example that to extend the life of the device. And that's a great defense of rooting. So that's really cool.
And it recycles.
I was just going to say,
it keeps it out of land. Devices. Yeah. Like, we got to stop this wasteful, well, says me. Who am I to say that, though?
We have so many phones.
Dude, that just
I have so many phones.
She ran out of steam halfway through the thought. She's like, no.
I am part of the problem. I will be the first to admit that I am part of the problem.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel the same way. We got too many devices.
Which is why we're telling you not to be a part of the problem, because there's already four of us here.
Be not a part of the problem.
How many of us are there?
Hey, I've been using the same laptop for 5 years. I'm just going to say, and I'm still rocking my OnePlus One.
Good on ya.
I know.
But
that's more out of because I spent all my money on donuts.
Donuts are freaking delicious,
are awesome.
So I'm totally
seriously,
there with
folks.
Ya. Oh my gosh. Oh, glazed donut. Oh, chocolate cake donuts.
French chocolate covered. Yes.
Okay, French.
There we go.
All right. I'm okay with an old fashioned.
Jelly filled. Let's take a minute and thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I've gone through the process of a mortgage myself, and it wasn't the easiest thing in the world, you know, pulling all that information. It's very analog. It's just not quite as, I don't know, connected in the digital age as I would have liked. And, you know, the folks at Rocket Mortgage, Quicken Loans, they realized that. They realized that the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times, that it was dated, that it needed a client-focused technological revolution. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home, or even if you're refinancing your existing home loan, you can do that too. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's also powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. I mean, you can do it on the spot. You take a look at a house, you're like, I like this. Hop on a Rocket Mortgage on your app. And I mean, you can process it right there. Based on your income, your assets, your credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. And now, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right. Excellent. So we have last week's arena. It was a AAA poll 334 because it was episode 334. See how we did that? And looking at the results, we had four apps in the arena. Notin. Ron's just
wow.
Went Notin. And he won.
I had a good feeling. I had a good feeling about Notin.
Notin wins with 44% of the votes there. Ada came in second at 28%.
First the worst, second the best.
All right.
That's how they say.
Third place is Phoenix 2.
Who are they?
The sequel, the Phoenixing. 15%, and fourth place is Adobe Capture CC. I thought Adobe Capture CC was pretty cool. But anyways, so there we go. So what that means
for the standings, thanks to Wade County in the chat room for keeping track of this, which, by the way, round of applause for Wade. He's amazing, week in, week out, always here. Thank you. Very nice golf claps. So through 37 weeks of All About Android, I'm currently back in first place at 97 points with that win.
He gloats.
Flo is in second with 95 points. Woo-hoo! The guests are in third with 94 points. Aww. And Jason falls back to the back of the pack with
Jason.
93 points. But once again, if Jason comes in first this week, he will be in first place.
Don't you dare.
That's how it works. So
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a time when Jason basically had won this by the All-Star break?
Yeah, that's why we changed the system.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah,
yep.
We made it. It's way more competitive now, which
yeah,
I just
it really
love.
Is. It's kind of crazy.
There's a actually no, it's fine. I just like the yin yang effect. It's a point system. Now, based on wins, you get points for first, second, third, and last, and it's just it's way more competitive.
All right.
Yeah, and that's proven to be the case. You kind of spearheaded this particular system at the beginning of the year, and I just wasn't sure how it was going to pan out.
It's really balanced out to be. It's anybody's game. I mean, we're 3 months out to the end of the year, and there's no obvious winner. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so then let's see here. So you won, Ron. So you are the last. Does that mean Flo, you're the return? No, who does that mean goes first?
You're the loser.
Do I go first?
You.
And then me.
I go first.
Well, I guess technically the guests go first because the guests lost.
The guest never goes first.
I'll go first.
I got this. You guys take a break. You guys have... relax. Get some space between you and me while I show you how to take some space from the apps that might control
your life. Oh, we're actually relaxing.
Yeah, you can. You can relax. Just sit back and check this out. This app is called Space. And what is Space? Space is actually developed by Dopamine Labs. They basically created an app. They understand the dopamine kick that people get from apps, right? Like we have the spur of the moment, you know, decision to open up Facebook because it gives us something, right? And
like
we think about it a million times throughout the course of the day to check our Twitter, check our Facebook, check our whatever it is. Your brain is rewarded when you open up that feed and see it, and it encourages you to do that more and more and more. And sometimes you don't even think about it; you just do it because you're bored, and it's your immediate, you know, it's gratification, immediate gratification. So they realized this, and they created an app that allows you to kind of take a little moment of zen, as they call it, before launching these apps, so you can kind of rewire your brain a little bit. So here are all the apps that I have installed on my phone. Let's say I've got a Twitter problem. I don't have a Twitter problem, but let's say I did. So I'll go ahead and find Twitter on here. I feel like I should be looking at it, but it's not there. Why is it not there? Probably because I was testing it earlier and it's hidden or something. So I'll just use something else. Oh, there it is. Here, let me remove that space. Okay, there we go. All right, so you're in your list. We'll go ahead and find Twitter down here. So here's my Twitter. So get some space. So I'm going to go ahead and tap that. And it's going to take me to a little web page. And when I go here, I'm going to say add this to the home screen. This is my new Twitter logo. I'm going to end up replacing the Twitter logo I have on my home screen with this one. I'm going to go ahead and add that to my screen. Now when I go out here, you'll see it added a new logo for me, right? It's my Twitter logo. It's got a little rocket over there for space. And I could delete my old Twitter launch icon on my home screen and replace it with this. Now every time I get that spur of the moment, like, oh man, I got to check Twitter. I'm really bored right now. I'm going to check it. I'd tap that and it would take me through and it would say, take one deep breath before you start. And I would do that. In fact, I could make it a longer, deeper breath.
You should be breathing
before you
go on Twitter, really.
Yeah, if you're not breathing, Twitter's not
because you don't
help.
Know what you're about. Yeah, what you're in store for, and then it lets you in. It kind of removes that immediate like, oh, I've got to check and see, blah blah blah. It forces you to take a step back when you're entering these apps that you are just instinctively jumping into and getting that immediate brain reward for, and adds a little point of I don't know.
It's like a timeout.
Yeah, it's a timeout.
It's like adding a friendly man in the middle attack to all your apps.
Oh, it's like a splash page.
Yes. It's like all of those things. Isn't that great? but it's not bad. Your phone's not getting hacked.
It's a moment
That's
of zen.
The good
it's
thing.
A moment of zen. I'm down with that.
So anyways, if you feel like you need a little space, you need to kind of force, you aren't good at taking a time out before you launch Twitter. You just do it a million times because, boy, what happened this minute? I have to know right now. Give yourself a little bit of time out. Check out Space. It's free and it just gives you a little moment of zen before whatever app you want to put it in front of.
Now, what would make that app amazing is if you could have it maybe give you a moment of zen before you actually send an angry tweet or an angry text or an angry post.
An angry text.
If it's really angry, you want to wait.
Donald Duck gets angry too.
It's true. It's so true.
It's true.
Okay. Anyways, that's it. It's space.
There's
so,
more Elmer Fudd.
I know.
Yeah. All right. I think you're up next. Yeah.
Am I? Is it me?
The guest should be up next.
Oh, I thought the guest was always third,
right? Yeah, so it should be.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, disclaimer, this is not going to win. I know it's not going to win. However, it's incredibly useful. That's why I'm giving it to you. You probably have, if you're an Android geek or any kind of tech geek, you may have a couple of these around. These are old Raspberry Pis, mm-hmm. or maybe some Arduino-connected, network-connected Arduinos. Well, you can take your old gear and you can actually do the Internet of Things, but in a hugely different way than they're done right now. And that is, you could do it securely. This has been all the news. Everything IoT has been owned. It has been hacked because basically you're taking an insecure piece of hardware and you're putting it on the net. However, there's a company out there that makes IoT not just secure, but really, really safe. The app I've chosen is this. It's if you go to the product cam so they can, well, the other one, that's the one that Flow. There we go. Well, no, mine.
No, that's me.
Over on this side. Or maybe
there might be some patching that happens.
In this general area.
Wiki.
There we go. Okay.
Oh, actually, brightness.
Let me turn that all the way down. There we go.
Thank you, Mac and Josh.
What this is the front end of their service. It's two lines. So you would add two lines to your Raspberry Pi or about 10 lines of code to any Arduino sketch. And this gives you complete control over the I.O. Now, the cool thing is I can hook up sensors to this. I can hook up relays to this. I can make it so that I can trigger things that trigger actions on the internet. For example, now if you go to the product cam in front of me, Josh, this little setup is something that I created for know-how. Super simple. There's a Raspberry Pi. There's an IR motion sensor. And then there's this little thing that's triggered by the motion sensor. And I can now just push a button, and I can actually activate things. And this is anywhere in the world. I'm not connected to this. It's just that we're both connected to the internet. And I can control multiple devices. So, for example, right now I created a project where you could have one Raspberry Pi set up in Hong Kong and one Raspberry Pi set up in, say, San Francisco. And you can move a little switch back and forth, and it will move it on both sides. Super stupid, but that's an Internet of Thing. And this makes it so useful. I can control all of the actions of my Raspberry Pi from I can see how much memory it's using, how much CPU it's using. I can actually jump in and get a secure shell. I can shut things down or start things up remotely. This is quite possibly, if you're an IoT developer, the easiest way to get into IoT. Now, JJ to the 4884 in the chat room is asking exactly how secure this might be. Well, the reason why so many IoT devices are insecure is because you're putting the hardware on the internet, you're exposing it to the internet, and that's a bad, bad idea because anyone with a computer can hammer it until they find a vulnerability. This is not exposed to the internet. This connects, this reaches out to the Kayan, the My Devices server, and it gets its commands from that. And same thing with the Internet of Things device, which means there is no open port. There's no internet-facing interface that will allow someone to hammer on it. Now, again, I know it's going to lose because this is not a complete app. This is the start of an app that you might make. It's the start of a device. And actually, if you go back to over here, yeah. So this little motion sensor, when I enable the script, what it will allow me to do is if someone passed in the motion sensor, I will get a text on my phone because it's sort of like IFTTT. And it will turn this on. This could be an AC lamp. It could be a strobe. It could be a floodlight. Mm. And I could also have it communicate with another Raspberry Pi or another Arduino that's on the other side of the property to turn on a camera. So if you've wanted to play with IoT, but you don't have a lot of experience, this is a way to do it in sort of module base. You just drag the module in and you say, if this happens, trigger that. That's so awesome. This is My Devices by Kayan.
Does it work with closed Internet of Things devices?
These are all closed.
Oh, I mean, like stuff you can buy off the shelf.
Oh, not yet. Unless you have a way to install the script that allows it to communicate with the servers, it won't work. But right now it works with any version of Raspberry Pi. It works with any network-connected Arduino. You can make an incredibly inexpensive IoT device and control it from anywhere in the world, but do it securely. So that's it. That's my app. And again, not going to win because I know that the audience is really, really small for this. But if you're thinking about IoT, try this. It is so much fun.
Don't sell yourself short. That was really cool.
And the arena is also a showcase.
Yeah.
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 It's
of what you can do.
We've learned time and time again that the winners of the arena are not necessarily, does not translate necessarily to only apps that people can download or whatever. It's just like, that was really cool. That was really cool. Got to say. That's awesome.
Like we could use this. Oh, actually, I already made a laser pointer robot that you can control via this. So if you wanted to play with your dog while you're at work, there you go.
Oh, might tire her out ideas. So that she's not running up and down the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. Or worse. excellent. That's awesome. My device is by Cayenne. Okay. Sorry, I've jumped the gun two times now.
It's fine.
I think you're next.
That's all right.
But I don't know for sure. Are you next?
I am next.
Okay.
I thought
about it, but I decided to hold back. I thought about it. But well.
Well, my app is also, it's also a little involved with security and being secure. I am bringing Firefox Focus into the arena this week, which maybe you guys saw this launch a couple of weeks ago. It came out this summer. Basically, what it does, it allows you to go on the internet, browse the internet without any ads and without any online trackers. So you can just browse it as you'd like to browse. Now, what would you guys like to browse? What website would you like to go to?
Hats?
That's
Okay, how about...
It's a word that came to mind.
I'm going to go to Forbes.com because I just can't...
Hats.com.
Oh, there's got to be a hats.com. I wonder what's there.
Well, I'm going to go to Forbes.com.
You might want to check it first.
This is dangerous.
They have hats.
So it'll load. Hey, right, I didn't get the interstitial.
Forbes interstitial.
Yeah, it just loads. And then when you're done and you just want to get out of this, there's no tabs. All you do is bye. Nice thing about this is you don't log in. You don't have to log in with anything. The annoyance about that might be that, well, if you want a robust browser, well, this isn't a robust browser. This is specifically for when you want to just be under the radar. You want to surf the internet without ad trackers, analytics trackers, social trackers, content trackers, which, you know, might break some video and web pages, but at least you're just getting the content, you know, the text. You can also get stealth, which will hide the web pages when you're switching apps so that if somebody needs to use your phone, they don't know what you're looking at. Block web fonts, just in case you don't want to deal with style guides. You can also choose to make it your default browser if you'd rather just always browse securely and only have Chrome for, I don't know, whatever you've got going on your Android phone. Of course, you can also choose whether or not to send anonymous data, you know, help the peeps at Mozilla out. But other than that, it's just a very straightforward, like, pop-in and pop-out browser. So, very low-key. It's free. You don't need to sign in. You just keep it on. It's a little bit better than incognito mode because it just doesn't have absolutely any ties to any account whatsoever. So yeah.
I love the symmetry here. Jason is adding a man in the middle and you're taking one out.
Wait, I am not adding a man in the middle. Jeez. You're misunderstanding the point. Firefox Focus is great. Put it in your browser, like, folder or whatever, and yeah, it's just
yeah.
There
I mean, I you know, I'm always looking at, you know, the Department of Defense's records. So clearly,
aren't we all?
I made that up, by the way. I'm not doing any of that.
I'm always
too late. You're on a list now.
I know.
I'm always looking at the Bradford Fedora on hats.com. It's only $250.
So hats.com is a website.
Yeah, it's a website. I didn't know
fedoras,
about it before.
Fedoras, by the way, okay. Very pricey.
What, fedoras?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, good $250
for Bradford Fedora.
Anyway, let's not take away from Ron's time.
This is a great segue to Ron's app. Hats.
Man, those are some nice hats.
Leads.
I tell you.
Ron actually has a Fedora app. It's amazing.
Listen, when you're buying great hats, you want to look good, and you also want your phone to look just as good as your hat.
Yeah.
So.
True.
Here we go.
With the app today that I brought you, Material Notification Shade, it allows you to customize the look and feel of your notification shade.
Like a hat.
What I really like about this app, by the way, is that when you open up the app, as Jason has it right there in front of you, is a big old on-off button. And so basically any of the customization, well, first, so once you hit it on, you've got to do the accessibility stuff. And this is a great little kind of a walkthrough to turn on all the different things you need to turn on to. Basically, you need to turn on notifications access, write access, drawing access, and usage. So once you turn all those on, similar to like LastPass and things like that, then you're good to go. And so then if you swipe up to configure me from the bottom, see the button there, configure me. Tap it. There you go. You can choose a theme if you want. You could change your notification to be Nougat or O or EX. If you don't want to use a theme for the panel, you can change the notification theme to be light or dark or colored. Go to colored, Jason. And then within there, you can change the colors. You can change the notification shade color. So let's make it like, yeah, there you go. That's good. Purple is great. Hit a set. And you can change the brightness slider color. So, you know, your little brightness, you know, thing, you make that, there you go. Maybe another, a different purple instead of that.
Okay. Stop. Okay. Done. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Okay.
Did you deny something?
Make it all green. That's good. That's perfect. So hit set. All right. So now if you hit done, if you swipe down and or just hit done and then turn it on, now if you pull down your shade, I'll turn it off and then back on. There you go. Oh, weird.
I think because I went into that thing.
And you hit deny. Yeah.
And I hit deny on my profile photo, so it didn't do it. So let me do this again. So blah, blah, blah. Set.
Yep, there you go.
And we'll do color. That's color, fine. Good. And panel, yep. Whatever. Oh, sure. Yep. Done. Material notification aid is displaying over the top of blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, it's on. Weird. Why is it works for me.
And it works on your Pixel, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I have it on my Pixel as well, too.
This smells of sabotage.
Anyway, you could also, if you hit App List, by the way, that's just random. If it App List, you can specify how it's working when other apps are running. So so tap on Chrome at the top of it. You had Chrome up there, didn't you? I saw it. I went away. Where'd it go? Oh, my God. What's going on?
My phone is
there you go.
Weird.
There's Chrome. Hit Chrome. There you go.
Chrome.
So, yeah. So hit color and you can change that, right? So hit set, and now if you open up Chrome, open up the app.
Okay.
Chrome. There's and Chrome. Do the swipe down notification. Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's just not working for me.
It's not working. That's weird. Well, anyway, so Josh, you can go to the Google Play Store to see screenshots examples of this. Let's not dwell too much time trying to, you know. But as you can see here, if you hit that second screen, you can see you can change the color of the notification bar up top. And then you could also change other specific things. So based off different apps, so you could change the panel for Google Music or for phone to be different colors. So you could use different color cues to pick up on the notifications of different apps. Or in here, you can make it completely dark or completely light. It just gives you control over that notification pane. So yeah, so good job. Material notification shade, customization for your notifications.
Well,
did you get it there?
No, it's I mean, you can see like when I turn it off, right, it goes away and does the full mode bleed through. When I turn it on, it does the overlay, but it's just
I think it's because you denied that permission.
Go to panel theme.
Panel theme.
And hit Nougat.
Nougat.
All right, and then go to notification theme.
Uh-huh.
And choose colored. All right, that's what I have it mine set to. So if you
it's like, this isn't staying.
Yeah.
It keeps changing.
It's weird.
I really want it to be purple up there. See how it keeps going back?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe when installed something weird happened or something. Who knows?
I think mine's working.
There is an app purchase.
Show Padres.
Oh, show. Yeah, there we go. Yay, Padre. Thank you, sir.
Show the Padres screen / flow screen.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah, so you change the color.
And puke yellow. Always a good color.
And?
Turn it on. Hit the off button. Hit the off button. There you go. You got to turn on those. All right. Seriously, this is okay. We're fine.
We're good. I think we're good.
Maybe it doesn't work with Oreo.
Permissions.
There is an in-app purchase that allows you to unlock the pro version, which lets you set the number of columns and rows in the grid, as well as the number of header tiles and things like that. That you're able to use, and it only costs $1.99. So if you really, really want this to work, assuming it does, For $1.99, you can unlock the pro version and get even more control. So there you go. Material notification shade. Sorry about the demo.
Dang, fail. Sorry, Ron.
It only works up to Android 7.1.1, it says, in the notes of the Play Store. Thank you.
And I'm on my Moto Z2.
Yeah, Eric Deckman for mentioning that. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
So there you go. There you go. I'm tired.
There you go.
I wasn't on my Pixel. I thought I was on my Pixel. I'm not.
Well, you know what? I mean, I can't remember what distribution numbers, but I think as far as Android distribution is concerned, this still applies to the vast majority of people.
At least 30%. I think we're
more than that. Jeez.
Oh, or maybe that's
not on Oreo.
People who don't not Oreo is that's like 95%.
This will definitely work on my OnePlus One. Just saying, right now.
And now you can have pink screens.
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So if you're not on Oreo, do that. And I'm sure they'll update it. Excellent. So you can place your vote for your favorite app from this week. Is it Space, My Devices by Cayenne, Firefox Focus, or Material Notification Shade? Go to twit.to/AAAPoll335, twit.to/AAAPoll335. And you can place your vote. I don't know what Mac and Josh is going to vote for, though. I'm really curious. And he's hovering a lot. My device is Cayenne.
Oh, wow. Josh is doing some IoT action.
Now, to be fair, I had to promise him a Raspberry Pi. So I'm just going to be handing these things out.
Oh, wow. That's the cost, huh?
Yeah, you know.
It's a Raspberry. I could use he's another. I'll vote for you.
I can Where use can another I come one. Trick or treat?
I've got a bunch of Raspis. If you guys want Raspis, seriously, I'll set them up for you. That's not a problem.
Cool.
He's having it.
He's got it like it's like hotcakes. Raspberry Pi is
also part
like
of a balanced breakfast. Hotcakes.
Yes. That's it for this week's episode. We really appreciate having you along, Father Robert Ballester. Aww. It's always great getting
you on
the show.
It's been too long.
It has been. I love this show. This was one of the first shows that I ever did on the Twit TV network. It was TNT, Twit, and then this. So, yay.
Yay. Aww. It's always great to have you on. We'll have to get you back soon. Maybe not wait until your next silence.
Yes. And I should mention that you've actually been a regular on Know How now. You've been part of the co-host rotation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we're doing this project. So this is Monday's project. We're going to be showing people how to do Cayenne from the ground up on a Raspberry Pi. And it really is crazy simple. In fact, I was going through the notes going, do we have enough material here for an entire episode? Because this is the easiest setup I've ever done for an IoT device. And I think...
That's exciting.
You're actually going to be co-hosting when we do this with an Arduino.
Oh.
Awesome.
It's exciting.
And we'll make something related to either kids or dogs. It'll be one of the two.
Good. If it's related to like making my dog not go to the bathroom in the house, if we could somehow tie that in there.
I don't think I could do that, but I could tie it to a motion sensor so at least text you when he does.
Okay.
And then you're like, oh, shoot, get out of bed.
We'll be mid-show, and I'll be like, I gotta go.
But you can find that at twit.tv/KH. That's Know How. We tape every Thursday. We actually do two shows. We do Thursday and Monday. Come on by and watch us. You can see Jason and see how strange it looks when we're both standing on the radio corner because he's like 3 feet taller than I am. It's challenging.
Maybe, okay, something like that.
We had a solution. Either we break through the floor so you can stand lower, or I stand on an Apple box.
I used to do that.
You stand in Apple box?
When I hosted a show with Roberto Baldwin, because he's a lot taller than me. So I would stand on an Apple box and
it's
we would
hard.
Do the show that way.
It's tough.
Yeah. Well,
then you're just
can't
like
move.
Locked in. Yeah.
You can't, the person on the Apple box can't move.
Yeah. You're just standing there like a statue. Great having you along. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Love doing shows with you. Love also doing shows with you, Flo. What do you have going on in your busy life?
I have a lot of stuff going on, but you're not going to know about it until probably the end of this month. So until then, I'm just kind of floating by on Twitter right now, floating around Snapchat at OThatFlo. And of course, you can hear me weekly also on the Material Podcast and the Relay FM network. And you'll hear more from me once I have a couple more things to show.
Awesome.
For me.
And the things that you do.
And the things that I've been doing. But I will have you know I have been working very hard. I'm really tired. Anyway.
Awesome. We can't wait to find out what you've been up to. And you too, Ron. I'm sure that you're going to get started on this podcast idea of breaking down every episode
of
All That Android.
One.
I honestly don't know if I could, to be honest with you, because I've got such a full plate with other shows. Go check out my other podcast, iFanboy, over at iFanboy.com, where we're talking about comic books and comic book movies and TV shows. We just did a podcast about The Tick. We've got another show coming out about the graphic novel Cerebus. Fun times over there if you like comic books. Go to iFanboy.com. If you enjoy Twin Peaks, you can go to DamnFinePodcast.com and go back to the beginning and watch Twin Peaks all the way through season 3 and listen to me and Tom Merritt and guests talk about it. And finally, you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at RonXO, where, by the way, with the Moto Z2X this past weekend, I successfully took video of a band playing at a show and posted it on Instagram, and the sound did not sound like garbage like every other phone I've had for the past 5 years. I put the link in there. I wouldn't play it, but you can play the video if you want. But I was at Riot Fest this past weekend in Chicago and saw the legendary Bay Area punk band Jawbreaker reunite. And took about a minute of video, and then it was finally post-worthy. So I'm over the moon that it's been 5 years since I've been able to do that. So there you go.
Wow. And well, yeah, so awesome to see Jawbreaker, but there aren't many phones that when you go to a loud concert and you record it, you end up with anything that's listenable after the fact. Right. It's like purely.
Well, the Pixel's so good at that.
The links in the doc if you want to. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So
How's the sound? I want to hear.
Wow. At a concert?
Not bad, right?
Yeah, my phone would just start sound like static.
Yeah, right. Well, especially like if you're really close to the stage.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the fact that I was far back and that sort of thing, it was also a great sound system. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, that helps.
So who knows? But also, it was just a great moment in time. And that song, we didn't think they'd play, and they did. So it was wonderful.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. Well, Ron, always fun. This is the week of Ron, if you didn't know. So yes. Ron was on TNT yesterday, All About Android, of course, tonight. And tomorrow joins me on This Week in Google. So that's awesome.
I'm very excited.
We'll talk about some of these things again.
I can't wait. Let's talk about that Bixby button one more time.
All right. I think we can do it. We'll get Matthew Ingram, who's also going to be on with us. We'll get his thoughts on the Bixby button. It'll be great. Right. What about you, Josh? Also known as Mac and Josh. Also known as, I don't know, should I get the iPhone 10?
Don't encourage him.
Okay. So
you have that much money.
No. Well, I was doing the iUp plan. So upgrading to the new phone.
You're going
to
put it on credit?
No. It's the Apple upgrade plan thing. It's like, anyway.
You're indebted to them for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Two years. What?
It doesn't matter what you say, really by doesn't. The way. You're just going to keep getting those responses.
I'm trying the Galaxy S8 Plus right now again. I'm back to trying
he's
it
not.
Because...
He's not.
No. Yeah, I am trying really it. Isn't. I have it. Right now, I'm using it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're trying it. It just means you have it.
No, I'm trying it. I'm using it full time right now. And the whole reason that I'm actually trying it, and I haven't told Jason this yet, I'm actually running the Notch app on it. So it just puts,
he wants to know if he wants the Notch.
It puts the Notch on the phone, one you were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you are running the Notch. I can see it from across the room.
Yeah, I have it on my phone right now just to see if I can handle it.
You know, you could also do that with a piece of tape. You just tape over the screen, and there you go.
No, I think this is better.
You're using it to test the Notch?
It won't look at my face. Hang on. It's trying to see my face. It can't see my face.
What are you doing to our Android
phones? Why can't it see my face?
Yeah, don't taint Android like that.
There we go. Okay.
And he's not even on camera while he's doing it. He's doing it from behind.
I didn't have enough inputs. There's too many inputs.
We just have to trust him on this.
There's too many things. But no, I'm trying it. It's here. We'll see.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get your thoughts on the S8. Don't judge the S8 Plus on the Notch app that you installed, though. And by the way, doesn't it serve like a ton of ads?
Just when you turn it on and when you turn it off.
Oh, okay.
But
he's with Apple, he's used to the whole being, you know,
they're receiving
indebted.
Ads constantly, but directly to the brain.
Yes.
No.
It's subliminally. It's an Apple ad.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, another thing is for some reason this clipboard is very attractive to me right now. I don't know why. I'm so attracted
it's
to this
It's the size
clipboard.
Of a 12-inch iPad Pro.
It looks like the Notch.
We're making a Notch joke.
Oh, the Notch jokes just never end. Thank you, though, Josh. For being here with us.
No problem.
And can't wait to hear where this all
is. Is that really worth thanking him for?
No,
it's not.
I think for the show, I'm thanking him. Not sure I'm thanking him for the
after the show. Well,
he really went out on a notch. That's for sure.
you know, Josh, you've just given us permission to add notches to everything at your desk. You know that, right?
Oh, man. might as well
notchify. Notchify Josh.
What about nachos?
Nacho Josh.
All right.
You know what? This is nacho business.
This is nacho business. All right, fine. Then we will stop.
What about you, Jason Howell? What are you up to these days?
Yellowgoldmusic.com, jasonhowell.net. That's all you really need to know. I wish I had more information for
you,
but
I
don't yet.
You're busy with a new puppy right now. I get it.
Yes, life is crazy. But thanks to you for always coming back and checking out the show and sending us your emails and your voicemails and chatting in the chat room. You guys are awesome. We couldn't do this without you. So thank you for being a part of the show each and every week. Leave us a voicemail. Speaking of being a part of the show, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or a video mail link to a video in your email to AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit where you can submit stories if you like to be included in the show. That's twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can always be found at the main place you want to remember, twit.tv/AAA. Subscribe to the show there. Also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, everywhere. And find us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We're all done. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.